Ephesians chapter 4, let me pray, and we'll get this party with God and his word started. God, we're grateful for evenings like these that you would set aside and purpose for us to come together to encourage one another in song and testimony, in prayer and conversation, and in the studying as well as the declaration of your word. And so would the truths written on the pages or the screens before us grip our hearts, Father. Holy Spirit, would you convict us where conviction is needed, leading to repentance and freedom, life in you? And at the same time, would you comfort us where comfort is needed? Awaken us to your purposes, God, to your will, your desire, and who you've created to be, us to be, and what you desire for us to do with that. We worship you, Jesus Christ, in your holy name. Amen. Say amen if you're with me. So yesterday was, I got two boys. I don't know if I've ever talked about them before, but I got two sons. One's three. He's about to turn like 15 or something in his head in a week or so. And then one just turned two yesterday. My little boy, Jude, just turned two. Oh, that's my man right there. That's Jude, the big two-year-old. We taught him how to say two. And Jude, you just don't know which one he's saying at any given time because it all sounds the same. How old are you? Two. What's your name? Two. So, but that's our boy Jude. And yesterday he turned 2 years old. And so as you can imagine, any 2-year-old birthday party, it was bumping. It was grooving. I mean, it was going off. The party was lit. Everyone's enjoying their apple juice and french fries and ice cream and cake, and you know, any party, whether it's a 2-year-old's party or not, you know, any party has got to have gifts, right? And so you could imagine my son in his now 2-year-old mind trying to conceptualize gifts, and we've been talking to him throughout the week about his birthday coming, and he is very loved by his family, even outside the walls of our home. Maybe in an unhealthy manner, has a high understanding of gifts and presents and prizes. And so he is absolutely eager to open up the gifts that he was given for his birthday party. And his eagerness wasn't just to see them and to know that he now owns them, but his eagerness was to unwrap the gifts, to discover the gifts, to see them, know that they're his, but to learn how to use them. To enjoy them and learn what purpose do these gifts have in my life. To make a lot of noise and annoy my parents, or to bring me laughter and cheer and joy, to clothe me, you know, to kick, to hit, whatever it is, he was eager to open up these gifts. I think this is very much the same case in our life with God. I think God has a great desire for us as we've decided to follow Jesus, if we've decided to trust God. God has a great desire for us too to discover the gifts that he's bestowed upon us. And not just in a fashion or a form that we would know them or that we would know they exist and they're ours, but that we would use them, that we would know how to use them, what their purpose is. As you put your trust in Jesus, as you follow Jesus, a new purpose is birthed within you. Gifts are bestowed upon you. And as you recognize that, I think that's where life truly begins to take place. And this is what God desires in our life. Our role should be simply, not simply to acknowledge them, but to use them. To walk in them. Say walk. Walk, right? To walk in them. We've been working our way through portions of the book of Ephesians, and the first three chapters talk about God's desires. Talk about churchy words would be doctrine, theology, truths of God, who God is, what he desires for mankind, and who we are because of him. And the last three chapters are a little more applicable. They're a little more tangible in saying, okay, Paul, he's a guy that wrote this book under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. Paul is writing, he's saying, listen, what I've described these first three chapters, or actually the first half of his letter, he didn't write a letter with chapter and verses. I don't know if you guys do that. That'd be very OCD and type A personality if you write letters with chapters and verses. But Paul's saying, listen, I've described all these truths of God and who we are because of Jesus. Therefore, say that with me, therefore, this is how we're to live our lives. Here's God's, we might use this language we have before you. Here's God's desire. Here's God's will. Therefore, as we choose to obey that and abide in that and submit to that, therefore, this is what our life is to look like. And I think upon accepting Christ, your purpose in life and to God is made clear as he extends to us these gifts, as we recognize what gifts we possess and how they're to be used, not only for our benefit, but for those around us. There's three places in the Bible where these gifts are spoken of, and they're different gifts in each of these three places. Many would refer to them as the gifts of the Spirit, and I don't know what I don't know if any of you guys have any sort of church background or church history or upbringing, and I want to be very sensitive to that, and we can talk about it in private if you want, but I it would be my opinion that the gifts that God bestowed upon his people, as we read in the scripture, still exist today, and I believe that they're operable in many different ways today, okay? But here are some of the places in scripture that you see the gifts of the Spirit spoken of. You guys could flip there or click there if you're really fast, but I think we got them on the Bible in the sky here. Romans 12, here we go. Romans 12, this is what it says. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Those of you guys that were with us last week, very similar, right? To walk low, to walk humble, to walk with meekness, right? To walk with patience, same concept. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, he's talking about this as like a metaphor, right? As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Eyes, ears, they have different functions, right? But they're part of the same body. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And he begins to talk about some of these gifts. He says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. We'll talk about some of these a little bit later. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, like you've been blessed with much, give it away and do it with great joy, abundantly, right? He who leads, man, make sure you lead with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Another place that you would find gifts spoken of is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Same writer, the same guy that wrote this in Romans that you saw before you, that writes this in 1 Corinthians, and even what is maybe still on your lap before you in Ephesians, it's the same guy. And let me say this. In each of these three places, I know I'm talking fast. I want to make sure I get through all this tonight. In each of these three places where the gifts are spoken of, rarely do you see the same exact gifts showing up in every place. And I think that should speak to something. There's something that we can derive of the Bible from that. There's something we can take away. That there could be more than even just what we see written in the Bible before us. However, I think it's very important to take what we see before us in the text and to ask God, Lord, what of this do I possess? What of this have you given me? To look in the mirror and hold the text in the mirror and say, God, where is this in my life? How have you gifted me? How have you crafted me and created me? Okay? This is what he writes in Corinthians. There are diversities of gifts, but the same, what's that word? Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same, what's the word? Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same, who is it? God, who works all in all. Talked about this a little bit last week, right? Unity. It's not our job to create unity in the body of Christ. It's our role to keep the unity. There may be different ministries, different philosophies of ministry, different way you carry out and share the gospel, but it's the same Jesus. If it's not the same Jesus, then maybe we've got something to talk about. But if Jesus is the Son of God, and the word of God is God breathing his written word, then man, we have unity, we are one. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one, he's talking about different gifts here. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Different gifts, but same God. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. Read these last three words with me. As he wills. These are gifts. These are gifts given by God as he wills, as he desires. Is it inappropriate to ask for certain gifts? No, my son asks me for certain gifts all the time. We can absolutely ask God for gifts. And I think we should. I think Paul encourages us to. But at the end of the day, whatever God wants to give us, man, we should be delighted. We should celebrate. We should cherish. We should not compare. God, why do I have this and they have that? No, we should be one. One, God, praise you that they have that and I have this. And man, we're gonna see people restored through your son. So Romans 12, Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. This is where we are. Ephesians chapter 4. I think one of God's greatest gifts to people, to mankind, is people, is mankind. These gifts that we read of here in Ephesians chapter 4, yes, there may be, we'll talk about gifts to us as individuals, but the reality is God is gifting people to the church. God is gifting people to his body. And this is what we see taking place in Ephesians chapter 4. So this is what we want to look at tonight. Part of our purpose is to be a gift to others, to be a gift in Christ to others, to encourage one another. But what we're going to look at is how does that happen? What do we do? The text is going to explain how our gifts are to be used and what our gifts are for and what happens when we walk in the gifts that God has given us. So Ephesians chapter 4, jump down to verse 11. Say booyah if you're with me. Yeah. Say hold up if you're still turning. Praise God. Here we go. And he himself, I almost said smelf, huh? That's kind of funny. Smurf is what I think of when I say smell. I don't know why. It's just an SM. Here we go. ADD. Back to Bible. Here we go. And he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Just make a mental note. We'll come back. We'll define and discuss some of these in a little bit. These are the gifts. These are the people that God raises up. And what are they to do? What is our purpose when walking in these gifts? Here it is, verse 12. For the equipping, say equipping. Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of, what's your Bible say? Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. This equipping, does anyone else's translation say perfecting? Show of hands, anyone? It all says y'all have equipping. Does anyone have anything else? It's going to be interactive. It's okay. I don't know if you guys have done this in church before, but no? Okay. Equipping. It's the thought behind the word is the idea of making something fully ready. To the proper use of gifts is to bring the body of Christ to its full potential. That as we walk as God has created us and gifted us, it's that we are to encourage one another, to equip one another, to edify, to build up one another, to be all that they were created to be. And we're to do this as a family. All of us here are a part of this. You see, I don't believe that churches, and we'll talk about our context, right? Little Country Church. I don't believe Little Country Church exists just for some of the staff to use their gifts. Church staffs aren't the only people with gifts that God has bestowed to encourage the church. You have gifts and talents. In fact, within the sound of my voice, there are many of us here that I believe God has breathed on and is raising up to do these very things that we just read, in Romans and Corinthians, and especially here in Ephesians. And you know what our role is as church staff? And it's even your role too, but you know what our role is? Is to make you aware of these gifts. To use how God has gifted us to equip you to continue to make followers of Jesus. That we are to rally young adults to the word of God, the mission of Jesus, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then with the gifts that God has given you, we would release you to go and do the same. In your classrooms, your workplaces, your families, amongst the neighborhoods you find yourself in. And you know what? I think we're actually, the body of Christ is better and is far-reaching if that's taking place. Hear me out, Haven. If we're relying, and I don't know, maybe there's some of us here, you got questions about God, you're kind of skeptical, or someone dragged you here, and I praise God, I'm glad you're here, and I pray God meets with you, and we can even talk later if you want to talk, but I don't believe, if you're here, God loves you. Let me just stop right there, I guess. Let me just share that. I don't want to be a cheerleader, but I fully am convinced just by studying the word and who I've experienced God to be that he desires to put your life back in order. And I believe the only way that can happen is through Jesus, through this person you've probably heard of, through Jesus Christ. And you can try, and maybe you have before, and you're exhausted. You can try to do it yourself and be your own God, but the moment you make God God, the moment you make Jesus God of your life is the moment that restoration will begin to take place in your life. And so I would encourage you, it's not a sign of weakness, but I would encourage you, would you just give up trying to do it on your own? Would you just trust God to be who he says he is? And I think the way that starts is simply by asking God to forgive you for doing it on your own. To think that you are God and you can make your life better and find fulfillment in the things that you'd want to do. And just I would say, God, would you forgive me? And would you show me from this day forward who you are and who you want me to be? And I believe the moment we ask God to forgive us, the moment we put our trust and obedience in God, eternity is locked up. And you have a relationship with the Creator, the one who created you, unlike anyone else. And maybe for the next few moments, that's just for you to sit on and consider and mull over in your head. But God loves you so much, so much. Yeah, he loves you. Picking up. Haven. It's very important. I think it can be valuable to invite friends, coworkers, classmates to come to church, that they would hear of who God is and know how much he loves them, that they would come to give their life to Jesus. I think absolutely it's totally valuable. I believe in it. I don't get paid on how many salvations the church, I don't make commission. I believe in it. But I also believe that you too are a minister of the gospel and that the church will be more effective if, yes, you can invite and you share the gospel where God has you. So this is how this takes place, that we equip one another, that we build each other up to know that you can go and you can be an apostle, a prophet, a minister, you know, a pastor, a teacher, a speaker, wherever God has you. Because the reality is you're going to reach people that I will never reach. Some of it is just by location. I will never step foot in wherever you work. Not because I don't like it. Some of you, maybe because I don't like it. But you just are in different places, right? God just has us in different places. That's what's so beautiful. I don't know if I'm giving away stuff for future teachings, but one of our leaders right here, Letitia, she's one of our leaders. I love her so much because she's come to recognize this in her own life. She's recognized how God has equipped her and the calling that God has in her life. You know what she didn't do? She didn't say, you know, I'm going to quit my job and go to like church school. I don't even know. Is there church school, ministry school, Bible, whatever? And I'm going to go work at a church because now that's like the epitome of what? No, she said, you know what? I'm going to work where I'm working, but I'm going to rally as many people to Jesus as I can. And you know what? I was hoping to use this sometime in the coming weeks, but you know what? She's baptized people at her work, at her workplace. Are you kidding me? Walking in the gifts, knowing God, I know I can do this. It'd be great if we could get to a church, and because of her work circumstances, the people she serves in her workplace, they're not really ever going to leave the facility. So this person approached her and said, hey, I've been reading the Bible and I want to be baptized. She said, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's find a bathtub in the office and let's do this. That's what it is. That's what it is, Haven, recognizing who you are in Christ, the gifts that God has given you and walking in them. That's what Paul's saying. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. What else are these gifts for? What happens to us until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery. That idea of trickery, it paints this picture of a dice, like gambling, like playing games. That the enemy would play games with us, like in a gambling context, but cheat, have the dice weighted, right? That he would constantly be trying to trick us, distract us, discourage us by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. As we, as individuals, as we commit to a local church and to those within the church, the family, the body of Christ, we begin to mature as sons and daughters of God. We begin, as we plant, as we commit, as we establish roots, we begin to no longer be tossed to and fro like a child trying to swim in the deep seas. No. We mature. We understand who God is. We understand how he's created us, how he's crafted us, what his plan and purpose is for us. So then how do we do this? How do we use our gifts? Here's a non-specific way in how we're to use our gifts, regardless of what the gift is that God has given you. Look at this, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Say Christ. Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Again, going back to that picture in Corinthians of a body, right? According to the effective working by which every part does its share. We all have a purpose in this. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in, what's the word in your Bible?
Love.
Love. Say it again.
Love.
Say it like you've experienced it from God. What is it?
Love.
Okay, love. Listen, as we use our gifts, as we awaken to who God has created us to be and called us to be and deposited within us, as we use our gifts to build each other up, we need to do so by speaking truth in love. Those have to be knit together, like Siamese twins. You can't speak the truth without love, and you can't speak love without the truth. It has to be together. If we speak the truth, But it's without love, then we're operating with a lack of grace for people. And if you do that, if you're ungracious with people, then what can happen is you can very much offend or push away those that God's heart screams for because you have no love. Now, on the other side, if we're just speaking love with no truth, then we're being unfaithful. And we're going to allow those that we love to slowly die a death to sin. We have to do it together. Truth and love, it cannot be separated. Think about this, whether you're privy to Paul's writings in the Bible or not, just hang with me. If you read his letters, there are some things that he speaks that, like, if you just happened to open up the letter to that place and you were the person he was, you'd be highly offended, discouraged, rip up the letter and throw it away because of what he has to say about some people, calling people out. But if you notice just at the writings, let's just look at the writings alone. You know what he does? He front loads every letter with love, with prayer. Says, man, I'm so grateful for you. This is what I'm seeing taking place in your life. This is what I'm praying for you. However, there's some things that we got to talk about. And he can speak the truth because he's established the love that he has for the people. And the people can hear the truth because they know deep down, regardless, Paul loves me dearly. And I'll hear anything he has to say. We too should front load every relationship with love. Front load every relationship with love. Building a bridge for truth leading into freedom through Christ. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing. We need to use our gifts in love towards each other for the sake, for the cause of the love of God. Now, we've been talking about what these gifts do. These gifts are to build up, to encourage one another, to go and be who God's called you to be, that you can rally others to Jesus. But what do these gifts mean? And we're just going to look at these Ephesians 4 gifts, and it's going to be kind of a flyover. But this idea of an apostle, say apostle. Apostle, it's simply one sent as an authoritative delegate. One sent as an authoritative delegate. You could say that many people, when they talk about these gifts, and rightly so, they talk about these gifts as offices. Like there's an office of apostle, there's an office of prophet, an office of evangelist. And so to be an apostle, as far as the Bible is concerned, in the office of an apostle, there are requirements. And you can find this in Acts chapter 1. When they're trying to find a new apostle, because Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, was no longer running with them. And they decided, man, we've got to find another to keep this 12 together. And there are three requirements to be an apostle, to hold the office of an apostle. Number one, you had to have seen Jesus, physically seen Jesus. You had to have been with him from the beginning as they established these kind of ground rules. And then you had to be an eyewitness of his resurrection. That's what you see them lay out in Acts chapter 1. And that would signify this apostleship. And then later on, you could argue that some later may not have held the office of apostle, but had the gifts of apostle, whether it's James, it's Barnabas, it's Silas, maybe Timothy, maybe Titus. And today, I would make this statement personally. Today, I don't believe the office of apostle exists today. However, and I want to be very careful how I say this, and you might need to be very careful how you talk about it in different parts of the body of Christ, but I believe that the gift of apostle can exist today in this context. Let me explain myself. No one today is writing Bible. There's no one living today, nor will ever live, that will write Bible, that will write scripture and add to the Bible. If anyone's doing that, run, flee, burn it, tear it up. Don't listen to it, okay? But this is what we do see in the lives of apostles, the gift of an apostle. There are some today, and in the years past, and even in the years to come until Christ returns, where God has just done something unique in their life, where they might be used to start a movement of God unlike anything we've seen in history. Whether it be revivals that we read of, or let me use this example. Some of you guys may be aware of this, some of you may not, but our church, Little Country Church, is in fellowship with a movement of God that began in the 60s called Calvary Chapel. Have any of you guys ever heard of Calvary Chapel, Cheyenne? Okay, so we're kind of together on this. That's good. So in Calvary Chapel, in the 60s, God used a man by the name of Chuck Smith to just radically save a bunch of hippies down in Southern California. Like radically, like the Jesus movement. Maybe some of you guys have heard about that. Just God breathed on this gentleman who was just faithfully trying to teach the Bible. And if you hear him talk about it, he really didn't like any of the hippie culture of movement, didn't want anything to do with it. Figured his daughter was like starting to date a hippie, and he thought, well, at least I could try and make sure they know Jesus and kind of see that they're saved. And then God just, and just masses of people come to know Jesus. Churches planted throughout the world known as Calvary Chapel churches. This is what I would say. And again, I'd use this language carefully in certain parts of the body of Christ. So I would say that you can make a great argument that God had gifted this man, Chuck Smith, with the gift of an apostle. That God had used this man to lay a foundation and a groundwork for a move of God. Now, again, I'd use that language very carefully. I'd use that language very, very carefully. But I believe that can take place. And more often than not, you probably recognize looking back on someone's life than even looking forward on someone's life. There's this idea of a prophet, and many times we think of prophets as foretellers, right? Someone that is like kind of telling the future. But prophets were used Old Testament and even today, not necessarily just foretellers, but forthtellers, saying this is who God is, this is what God's will is. Today, those that God may breathe on and give a word of prophecy, prophecy is used to provide edification, used to provide exhortation, used to provide comfort. You see Paul talk about that in 1 Corinthians 14. Evangelists, those engaged in spreading the gospel. Hear me out, Haven. We are all, as followers of Jesus, to do the work of an evangelist. However, there may be some of us that just have the gift of evangelism. We're all to be rallying anyone to Jesus, but there are some that you just encounter and they just have a way with people. You guys know what I'm talking about? They just have a way with people that you just sit in awe of. And you're like, I don't even know if half the things you quoted from scripture was even right, but this person just gave their life to Jesus. Like, how does that work? There's some, that's kind of a hyperbolic statement, okay? Hear me out. There's some that God has just moves radically in their life, and they have a gift of evangelism to awaken people to who God is and what God has for them. And praise God for them. There are people in my life, I see that, I'm like, man, I could never do what you do. I don't know how you do that, but that's incredible. Praise God. Evangelists. An uncanny ability to lead people to Christ, right? There's those who are pastors. Say pastor. I want to know you're awake. One who guides and comforts like a shepherd. You know, many of us think of pastors and maybe what I'm doing right now, that I stand in the front of a room of people and you speak, you teach, you preach. And yes, maybe there are some pastors who do that, but to be a pastor is really to shepherd people. To really comfort people, to protect people, to guide people, to fight for people. That is a pastor. A pastor is a gifting. Hear me out. A pastor is a gifting. It's not a title. A pastor is a manifestation of the heart. It's not just a job that you pursue, that you apply for. Pastors are pastors because of who they are, not just what they do. That's a pastor. Has the ability to just care for people unlike others. And then Paul talks about a teacher. And I should say, like, in some circles, you might talk to people that would refer to pastor and teacher as the same. They're combined. And then I think you can make a decent argument that they're also yes and separated. But a teacher is one who instructs in God's ways. Maybe has the ability to take the word of God and communicate it in a way that is simplified, in a way that is applicable, in a way that is so personal, unlike any other people you may encounter. A teacher, a communicator, a speaker. Now, I think when it comes to the gifts God has given us, I think there are two tragedies we can find in the body of Christ. In the church, whether it even be little country church or just every believer across the world. I think one of the tragedies might be that people don't know their gifts. They don't know who God has gifted them to be and what he desires with their life. The second tragedy, these are my thoughts. The second tragedy I think is maybe people don't know the proper use of their gifts. I would quote this, Warren Wiersbe. Do we have this on? Okay, Warren Wiersbe, he says this. I think you can see this in his perspective, these two things as well. How does the believer discover and develop his gifts? By fellowshipping with other Christians in the local assembly. You don't know how your gift, it started with just fellowshipping, deepening relationship with other believers. And then he says this, I think this is so profound. He says, gifts are not toys to play with, they are tools to build with. And if they are not used in love, they become weapons to fight with. I think this is tragic when followers of Jesus make their gifts all about them and what they possess and what separates them from those, from others. That's not what we see in Scripture. We see in Scripture that our gifts are to be used with each other for whoever's in front of our eyes, not for ourselves. And to those that walk around with great pride in the gifts that they have, you need to know that yes, people may need you in their life, but you need others in your life as well. There are gifts that others possess that you need to be surrounded with as well. So there we were, my son, you know, opening up his presents. Jude, 2 years old, trying to figure out how to rip paper and what's in a box and like how to give an exciting face when you see clothes and you're wanting a toy. You know how that goes, right? You guys, you just hold up the shirt behind your face and you're like, oh, what am I going to do with it? I love it. This is great. This is amazing. Really, a shirt, you know? So there's my son. We're at his birthday, and you know what happens? The older brother steps in. The older brother, right? He steps in. He's been prepping his brother all week. Hey, Jude, listen, it's your birthday on Saturday. You're going to get, he's not as articulate as this, but he's pretty articulate. He says, listen, Jude, it's your birthday on Saturday. You're going to get some gifts. And you know what? I'll help you open them. I'll help you. What a big brother, right? I'll help you open those gifts, right? Prepping him all week. Eager to help him open up his presents. And he might have some ulterior motives, but part of him wants to help him discover what these gifts are and how to use them. And he might be the one not talking him through how those gifts are to be used, but actually grabbing the gifts and showing, right, taking the cards, and this is what you do with it, whatever. But this is the brother. And you know why he's doing this? Because he's a brother. And you know what happens in family? You know what happens when your family, when your brother or your sister gets a gift? Inadvertently, you get to enjoy that gift as well, right? He's not stupid. He's only three, but he knows whatever my brother gets, it's going to benefit me on some level. This is the body of Christ. This is our role with brothers and sisters. That we too would come alongside them and say, hey, let me help you unwrap this. Let me help you discover who God has created you to be. Let me speak this life into you and what I see happening in your life. And you know why I'm doing it? Because I know if you walk in the full potential, then it benefits me and it benefits those around you. So this is what I'm going to do. Just brief. I know, brief. I promise you, I'm closing now. I'm going to try and take it from 30,000 feet to just ground level. So how do we do this, right? How has God gifted you? How has God wired you? Those are the questions we need to be asking. How does this happen? This is like the most simple, slightly moronic statement. You know how I think it can begin for some of you? Just when you get home tonight or In-N-Out, wherever you are on your smartphone, you just Google spiritual gift test. I think it could just start like this. I did a Google search for y'all this week. This is what I found, okay? Spiritualgifttest.com, gifttest.com, theforgottenways.org. Two of those are free. One of those you have to pay, okay? Listen, I should just make a disclaimer. I don't know what kind of doctrine or theology are on those sites outside of those tests. I just took the test. Okay, I just tried to take the test and see. One of those like 105 questions, I didn't figure that out until like 30 questions in. I was like, oh, really? We're going to do this again? Okay, keep going. But here, it may just start with a gift test. And I'm not saying this is the way. I think it really starts by asking God. It really starts by combing the scriptures and saying, where is this mirror me? But it may be so simple as taking an online test. I took the spiritual gift test and I found wisdom, faith, and teaching. I took the gifttest.com and I found exhortation, craftsmanship, service, teaching, giving. I think it just starts with you personally doing some research on your own, digging through the Word of God. You know, the second place I think we begin to find our gifts is when we ask those that we're in community with. When we ask those that we're in relationship with. Gifts may be revealed, well, hopefully are revealed through the scriptures, but I think they're confirmed or affirmed in community. A while ago, my wife and I were part of a small group, like a discipleship group, and as a group, we decided, let's talk about spiritual gifts. And we took tests, and we came together, and we shared them. We said, this is what I, we asked our spouses to take the test for us so we could see, and I see that in your life. Nah, that's interesting. I never knew that, but explore that. Maybe that, I could see. That is you. That is how God has wired you in community. I'm a licensed pastor. This was nothing I ever set out to do or desired to do. It wasn't on my to-do list. Sometimes I still wonder if it is on my to-do list. But I'm a licensed pastor, and you know how that came about? It wasn't because I went to some seminary and finished with a degree, and they said, here you go, you did it, stamp, you paid us money, you passed your test. You know how that happened? In community. It happened when a body of elders and some pastors came to me and said, Nathan, this is what we see in your life. This is what we see in the way you operate yourself and serve one another. And we just want to affirm this, but we want to acknowledge this is who you are. It's in community. I took that paid test. I think it's like 10 bucks to take it or something. You could do the $25 version. I did the $25 version. And this is, you can put it up. It's okay. You're not getting ahead. It's all right. So the left side, that's when I took the test. Teacher, evangelist, shepherd, apostle, prophet. It's centered around these gifts that you see in Ephesians 4. That right side for the $25 test, you then send the test to 10 other people in your life and ask them to take the test for you, like on your behalf. Look what mirrored. Evangelist, teacher, shepherd, apostle, prophet. And you know what's funny? I took the test and saw my results and I thought, oh, wow. You know, there are times where I thought I operated more prophetic than, huh. It's at the bottom. Oh, maybe the other people will see it in me. You know, nope, dead last, still dead last. Still don't have it. Still don't see it. God, what's going on? Dead last. Just Charlie Browning it back to the house. But you know what did happen? This evangelist showed up in my test second, showed up first in those that see it around me. And you know what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks? Asking God, what is this? How do I use this? I never really believed this about myself, but it seems that there's something else within me that you're wanting to unearth. How do I do this? Show me, God. Show me. Worship team and prayer teams can come up. Haven, it's so important that we recognize that God has given gifts to each of us. And it starts with us unwrapping them before the Father and saying, God, show me what this is. Show me how this is to be used in my life. And I think it's extended out into community. And the problem with being like a rogue Christian is you never get to see some of these things come to full maturity because you don't know where to ask or who to ask and recognize really what God has given you. Begins with seeking him. It continues with plugging into ministry and asking others to make observations and confirmations of the gifts that God has given his people. And above all, Haven, please, may we use the gifts God has given us as tools to build his kingdom with, to serve anyone in front of our eyes. I'm gonna close in prayer. And the worship team is gonna lead us and close the evening in song. And I'm gonna ask that even during these songs that, or I'm gonna share, you have the freedom to close and worship however you wanna worship. If you wanna stand and sing, sit and consider, kneel and sing, you can do that. But I'm gonna ask that you would take some time right now, just to ask God, Lord, is there anything? Can you show me this in my life? How have you crafted me, Lord? Remind me, God, of what my heart burns for and aligns with your word. Like, am I a prophet, Lord? To have a great passion to utter your truths, that people know your heart and your word. Lord, have you gifted me as an evangelist? Lord, I recognize that, man, I'll talk to anyone that has flesh on. Lord, would you continue to unearth that and show me how to lead people to you? God, as a pastor, I recognize I care for people. Lord, what does that look like when not employed by a church? How am I to pastor people at my job? How am I to pastor, guide, protect, shepherd people in my classroom, in my family, God? Lord, this urge to want to clarify and simplify your word to people, how am I to use that, God? Lord, what ministry can I plug into in my church to exercise those gifts? Would you purpose some time to show God who you... for God to show you who you are and respond and worship and praise. And we'll close in one last song and worshiping with our tithes and offerings. God, we worship you. in this moment of response, would you show us who we are? Would you show us how we are to be used to equip and edify others? Would you show us how we are to be used to aid those in our friend group, our community, to discover who they are because of you? Amen.